Covered again with garment, and the candle is still lit and burning. burial, and dead, we begin with a kind of mirror of baptism, because it's the font that begins everything for us. The one who has died, we bring as close as we can to the Lord's altar, so that as the sacrifice is offered this time for her, as much as with her, that all of the little sacrifices that she made for you, one for you, and for all of us, that all of those little sacrifices, the little privations that we know each day, and the big ones, because she had some big ones, that all of those get caught up in the one sacrifice of Christ. The Lord promises in the passage from the Apocalypse, from Revelation, that he makes all things new, that they both are what they always were and yet become something different. And that's the fundamental promise of the resurrection. That God restores life, but it's not the kind of life that can be squelched by death anymore. The passage about the rising of Lazarus is one of the strangest in all of the scripture. And it's strange precisely because Jesus weeps. Jesus knows that Lazarus is dying. He tells the disciples so. And that's why they leave where they're going to come back to where they were. And when they get there, the girls are angry because he's dead. And Jesus should have known that. He asks to see the tomb. And he weeps. No. But Lazarus is about to rise from the dead. Which should make we who read the story, we whom the evangelist knows already believe in the Lord Jesus, it should make us ask, why does he weep? Why is he crying if he knows this one comes back from the dead? And not just the promise of the resurrection at the end of time, but is about to rise from the dead. I have sat with this for a long time. Certainly as long as I've done this, but long before the death of my own mother. And the only answer I can come up with is that he weeps for us. He doesn't weep for the dead person, who now knows no pain, and who in this case is about to come back to life again. He weeps for those who lie in pain because of the death of the one they love. And this is important, because it means that we need to move too quickly past our grief. It gives us space inside to just feel the searing pain. Because in the mystery of God, it is that searing pain, the pain that can only be known in death, that gives us life. When my own mother died, she too was sick for a long time. And when she passed, that first week was very full. All kinds of things to be done, preparations to be made, all kinds of people trying to talk to you and tell you how sorry they are, stumbling over awkward conversations. And I was working in St. Louis at the time, so after the funeral, a few days later, I had to go back to work. And it was several weeks until I got a real break. It was a Saturday afternoon, and I was in the laundry room cleaning one of these, and there was a stain. And I couldn't get the stain out, so I'm trying to rub the stain in the laundry room. Who do you call when you can't get the stain out? Mom. So I call Mom on the phone, and I tuck the phone in my ear like this as I'm working on the garment. And I'm not even tracking enough to realize she's not on the other line, right? And my dad had not yet turned her phone off. So in my absent-mindedness, trying to get the stain out, I heard my mother's voice for the first time in 6 weeks. And it startled me so badly that I jerked my head back and I dropped the phone. And of course, it's the laundry room in the basement, so the phone hits the ground, burst into a million pieces. And I sat on the floor and I cried for the first time.